Okay, welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you on board wherever you are around this ever more troubled planet. And it's all by design. I think many of you are beginning to see it now, how well thought out this all was. Nothing is left to chance. They are running the show as they have laid it out long ago. They just waited for the tech to catch up with them so they could use it. Now they're using it, and there's no mercy at all. We have some wonderful people out there who are doing their best to bring information forward, although not as many wonderful people as you might think. A lot of the big names in this effort, this so-called alt-news world effort, to make people aware of the fact that they have been targeted for annihilation, elimination. A lot of those people are in it for money, for ego. They have a mixed agenda. And I'm not knocking anyone in particular. I don't think I have to name names. There's some frauds out there. And then there's some who are just in it for the money. And it's sad because the truth is not being promulgated like it should be. And look no further than the mainstream media to see. What do you see in the mainstream media? Next to nothing about any of the things we talk about. It's only the biggest crime in the recorded history of the human race, as far as I can tell. Billions of people potentially are going to have their lives shortened or ended. It's crazy out there. Their partner, every team has a one half is better than the other. Here's the better half.
Hardly. I am here.
All right.
Standing by.
Well, sit down. Take a seat. It's all right.
All right, okay. If you insist.
All right. Dr. William Mackus, we've had a lot of respect and do have a lot of respect for Dr. Mackus. He has paid a very difficult price for standing up and speaking truth. There are others, but he is certainly one who has recently picked up the mantle and carried it with great bravery and determination. And he is in Canada. And as you know, Canada now is really slipping over the edge and falling into the Bolshevik Zionist communist hole, the pit. They have announced now that all Canadians will have a social credit score tied into their bank accounts. Okay? Does it sound a little bit like China? Does it sound like China may be making headway in Canada in terms of taking it over? You bet they are. They don't call it Hongcouver for nothing. And that's the truth. William Mackus, how would you rate him in terms of the people we can depend on to at least present it as they see it?
Oh, exceptional. If it weren't for him, I don't think we'd have the full scope or appreciation for how bad this cancer epidemic is.
And it's bad, friends. We're going to talk more about that tonight as well.
Cancer, you know, among other things, but you know, he's a former oncologist, so this is his area of expertise, so he knows it very well, and, you know, is quite qualified to speak on it.
He has been speaking on it to the extent that the Alberta health authorities are coming after him. Now, We should also mention Dr. Ryan Cole, who had a big laboratory, pathology lab. I don't know where he lives in Canada. I've forgotten.
No, but he's not in Canada. He's in Idaho.
I'm sorry, Idaho. But he has been paying a terrible price, too. He lost his business. 60 employees at least had to let them go. I think his partner bought him out, all because he was Ryan has been speaking the truth since the beginning. So there are a few really five-star people in the medical field who are standing up and telling it straight. The Canadians are paying a particularly difficult price, but none more so than Ryan Cole. And right in Idaho, one of the states that are supposed to be a blue state.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Well, how could this happen in a blue state to that man? All right, anyhow, Dr. William Mackus has a new post on X. We're going to read this to you. It's very important. It explains the Alberta Health Services war on Dr. William Mackus and his family. He writes, "My family is currently being threatened and extorted by Alberta Health Services and the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta. Its leaders, who are engaging in government-sponsored efforts to cancel my free speech on X, which is not even in Canada. These threats are being made against my family in violations of Sections 346 and 465 of the Criminal Code of Canada, and we are preparing to file criminal charges with the RCMP Alberta and the Edmonton Police due to the ongoing threats against my wife and myself, threats which have, in recent weeks, extended to our residence, our home in Edmonton, Alberta. Since 2020, my family has been viciously attacked with fraudulent court applications, court orders, and court costs filed and pursued by such and such and their lawyers, blah, 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 who were involved in the illegal sabotage of my cancer treatment program. Remember, Dr. Macus had come up with a very effective cancer treatment protocol. Back to the reading here. Who were involved in the illegal sabotage of my cancer treatment program at the Cross Cancer Institute, which led to serious bodily harm or deaths of 2,456 Alberta cancer patients since 2016. And there are five Alberta judges who have been recruited into this criminal extortion plot. Court of King's Bench, Justice Avril Inglis, Associate Chief Justice Kenneth Nielsen, Justice J.J. Gill, Justice D. Lee, and Court of Appeal Justice Dawn Pentelichuk. My screen just went blank. There it is. Pentelichuk. Who have issued fraudulent court decisions and awarded fraudulent court costs in the ten thousands of dollars in an effort to harass, extort, and ultimately bankrupt my family and silence me on X. Go ahead.
These crimes are being committed with Alberta taxpayer money and have been forwarded to Alberta Premier Daniel Smith and Alberta Health Minister Adriana LaRange, both of whom have been fully briefed on these criminal acts. These crimes are also being committed under the new AHS media leadership of AHS CEO Athana Menzelopoulos, AHS board chair Dr. Lyle Oberg, and CPSA CA registrars Dr. Scott McLeod and Dr. Michael Cafaro, all of whom will be subjects of criminal complaints in the coming weeks. I will be exposing on X the criminality of Alberta's Court of King's Bench and Alberta Court of Appeal in extensive detail in the coming weeks. Just as I expose pedophilia, child sex trafficking, and child sex crimes that were being committed by AHS, that's Alberta Health Services, and College of Physicians leaders during Rachel Notley's 2015 to 2019 Alberta NDP government, with former Alberta Premier Rachel Notley announcing her resignation from politics 10 days after my articles on these NDP government child sex crimes were published in January 2 and 6 of 2024. I will also be making a formal request to Elon Musk and X's legal team to provide me and my family with legal assistance, and I applaud Elon Musk's commitment to free speech in his support of facing and countering the attacks that Dr. Kulvinder Kaur Gill has faced from the medical leadership, including CPSA, CA, and corrupt judges in Ontario, Canada. Court documents and criminal filings with RCMP and EPS will all be posted on my X account in the coming weeks, and I can assure all of you that I am in good spirits and good health and have no intention of any self-harm. I declare this should any harm come to me as a result of my exposure. Thank you all for the kindness and support you have shown me and my family. God bless you all.
Well, God bless you, Dr. William Macus. Let's hope that Musk comes through and gives you some support. We certainly will here, and many others will as well. He's taking on the demonic, satanic presence itself head on. So we will see.
And we'll see if Mr. Musk is good for his word.
Well, Mr. Musk and unfortunately X and his CEO have silenced a number of people, and that should not have happened. It's censorship is alive. I don't know how well it is, but it's alive at X. They do cancel people, unfortunately.
As
Harry
in our
Fisher.
Next,
yeah,
our next individual here, Harry Fisher, the paramedic, has recently been canceled by X and cannot have his account reinstated. And he explains why.
There's no reason for this. You see, Elon Musk is an interesting character. He is talking a great game. Is he delivering that great game? I don't think so. And I'm not saying I don't hope he does. But his groveling at Auschwitz, etc., was just sickening to watch. Completely sickening. Harry Fisher is a paramedic. Harry Fisher has spent close to 10 years in the profession, something like that.
Oh, I think it's more. I think it's more than that.
Yeah.
He's a career
save
paramedic.
Lives. Helping save lives. Putting his life in danger, quite frankly. Helping save the lives of others. These are selfless individuals that do these things. And great nurses as well. And there are some doctors who will qualify. Not as many as we'd like. So here's Harry Fisher talking about X and what was done to him. It's a short piece. Here we go.
I'm a paramedic that's done CPR in a Pfizer line, and I've been banned on every single platform for trying to talk about it. For trying to talk about the bad things I've seen since the rollout of these COVID-19 mRNA gene therapy shots. I've been banned on X without giving an explanation. And people are allowed to slander me, talk all kinds of trash about me openly, and yet my hands were tied behind my back while they beat on me, while they verbally abuse me and try to come after the way that I feed my family. Well, X is still charging me for a subscription each month, and I think I have the right to take up for myself. This is supposed to be the public square. Well, I didn't sign up to be beat on in the middle of the public square while I was tied to a pole. God bless.
Correct. See, this goes back to Musk's first appointment to X when he took it over with the International Jewish Financial Backing. They loaned him the money to buy. He didn't have enough. This is fairly well known. I think it was $20 billion he borrowed or something like that. It was crazy. The total cost for it was, wasn't it 40, 44, 40 something billion, and he had
Trump,
to borrow
yeah, something
half of
like
it.
That.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they own Musk like they own Trump. So here's this gentleman, Harry Fisher, a paramedic, banned completely. And if you think, and I know most of you don't and won't, that Linda Yaccarino, the CEO and former board chair in the World Economic Forum organization, didn't know full well what was going on with Harry Fisher and how he was being beaten up while he was unable to respond, and now that he's been canned. If you think she didn't know about that, you're not living. You're not living. You're somewhere else. Musk knows. They all know. So that's not good. I worry because people, they want so badly to trust somebody, and they're trusting Musk. And they're trusting X. And at any time, the same with BitChute or Rumble, at any time, they could all shut everything down. And all they have left is a full data profile on everybody who's ever said anything on their platform. Believe it. This is how they do it. They sucker everybody in, they gather the data, and then they shit can them. That's it. Okay, so there's a look at Harry Fisher. We keep our eye on Harry because he is a very honorable, very heroic man. And glad he's fighting it. I hope he gets some relief. He's not going to get it from Linda Yaccarino. Ain't going to happen.
Well, his appeal has been denied. They came back to him and said they can't reinstate his account because he was impersonating himself.
It's all BS. It's all BS. All of it. It's just not. It's crap. Total crap. All right. Now, you remember when we had Nurse Lindsay House on, I don't know, several weeks ago? This is a wonderful young woman. She was a great athlete in high school, four-sport athlete, just as chipper as she could be. A little thing. I think she weighed 100 pounds or something. She's small, but terrific athlete. Wanted to be a registered nurse. Finally got through nursing school and took the shot. And her body has been all but annihilated. She's in real bad shape. Nurse Lindsay House. There was an event in Florida where they gathered together a number of speakers. You know the type of event. Trying to alert people, trying to help people understand what they're up against. And she was invited down to make a presentation. Not a very long presentation. I think they had 5 or 10 minutes each, something like that. The drive down there took so much out of her, she couldn't make it to the event. She appeared in a hospital setting, so to speak, in a hotel room. She was in bed. She couldn't get out of bed. She might as well have been in a hospital. So she made her statement from this hotel room bed to the event, and we wanted to play that for you. It's just about 5 minutes long. Tell us a little bit more about Lindsay.
Yeah, well, she has organized a vax-injured advocacy group because, frankly, no one else or the government isn't doing it, that's for sure. Really, nobody's doing it. And so she has taken the reins or taken the lead on this and formed a very, very large group of vax-injured people supporting each other and, you know, trying to be a force to be, number one, acknowledged, recognized, and treated and compensated. It's utterly despicable the way these people are really essentially been left for dead. There's no acknowledgement of them.
She's terribly
None.
Sick. She's terribly injured. And we get stories all the time. More and more people are talking about just getting out of here, checking out, okay?
Right.
They just want to be gone. And when they introduce assisted suicide here, and they will, it'll be very heavily attended by quite a few people, I suspect. Anyhow, here's Lindsay. And laying back in a hotel room bed, can't even sit up all the way. She's literally laying down. And let me get this cued properly. Does she talk about in this little clip about her illnesses? I think she does. I shouldn't call them illnesses.
Bit.
That suggests that they are somehow something you can mitigate. No, these are permanent back injuries. The event was called Hidden in Plain Sight. Okay? Here we go. Let's see. I think I'll just join this in progress. It's about 6 or 7 minutes here.
It's, all right. Here made the trip. He's not able to be with us, but I think Chuck, is that our client there?
Yeah, real quick. I just wanted to let people know, and this is an emotional day. I mean, my goodness, we're back here in the studios at Freedom Square watching... you know, if you're a legislator in the state of Florida, your name's Governor DeSantis, get off your ass and do something. I mean, let's do this. I mean, this is emotional. Real quick, if you're watching on Rumble, there's a Q&A. Go ahead and ask a question. We'll get it answered. If you're on Zoom with us right now, go ahead and ask a question. We'll get it answered. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and ask a question. We'll do our best to get it answered as well. But Lindsay House is here. And Lindsay, the floor is yours.
Hey, everybody. It's Lindsay House. I don't know if you can see me. I'm not showing up on camera, Christina. But I came down to Florida to... it's really hard to talk after Danielle speaks. I should have told Nick to move me back in the queue. But so I'm Lindsay House. I'm a registered nurse. Documented, diagnosed, and confirmed vaccine injured by three different providers. I was injured in 2021 by my Pfizer vaccine. On day 10, I went into full cytokine storm, which I still am in cytokine storm. And what that is full body inflammation, systemic wide. And I also am a confirmed spike protein factory. We had just confirmed that as well with our lab work. My T cells are completely depleted. So they're talking about the vaccine-induced autoimmune inflammatory disease, the vaccine, the VAIDs that you hear they talk about. we recently did a microclot test, and I have 3.5 out of 4 on my microclot test graded at moderate and severe. I'm talking to you from my bed. So one of the big things that I wanted to let you guys know that I'm being a part of, I recently submitted a sample of my DNA to be tested for DNA integration. And what that means is the DNA that they found in the vials of Pfizer and Moderna, they're testing my DNA to see if it transcribed into my genome, and this is why all of our injuries are occurring. I've also had shingles. I've also had reactivated Epstein-Barr virus. I have the brain fog. I have tremors in my hands. Today, I can't stand up longer than 5 to 10 minutes. I get really dizzy, and I can pass out. My heart rate goes into the 120s to 150s. It's called POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And I also have mast cell activation syndrome, which is systemic histamine release full wide. So the drive yesterday down to you guys wore me out. But I would love to see some of my injured friends, Danielle, Shell, hello. Hey, Steven. Lindsay Briones. Oh, gosh, girl, your story just breaks my heart. We should not have to be talking about this at 20 and 36 years old and, like, living like this. We have no quality of life, and we are begging people to please help us. Please. Because honestly, people are contemplating suicide as the best way for our quality of life to, you know, end our lives. All we want to do is help. That's all we want. We want acknowledgement. We want to be researched. We want treatment. We need compensation. You heard Cody's story. He is 21 years old. Mandated to get this vaccine to attend college, and you see where he is now. We're 2.5, 3 years into this, some of us. Our bodies are wearing down. They can't take it anymore. We have so much evidence that the public needs to know about from our labs and our imaging, but nobody, it's like the government doesn't, we don't exist, and they always preach no American left behind, but you are leaving behind thousands, if not millions of Americans. We are sick. We are tired. We are angry. We can't even grieve our old lives of how we used to work. I used to play 4 sports in high school. I played soccer, volleyball, basketball, and, I went to college and I played softball after that. I was in the best health of my life. They were scouting me to go professional in softball. I turned it down because I wanted to become a nurse. I fought and worked on the front lines. I was in the COVID ICU and in the ER. I saw what was going on. I saw how they treated us. I saw how they bullied and coerced everyone. No one should have received these shots. No one. These shots after the rollout should have been pulled early January 2021 from all of the injuries and reports, but they didn't file that, and they will never let the public know. Well, here's some other things the public needs to know. We're seeing brain shrinkage on our one-year follow-up scans of our CT and MRI scans. We're seeing low sperm counts in our men. There's 20 and 30-year-olds with zero sperm counts. If that doesn't sink in, let this one sink in. There's children's hospitals that have and are not reporting myocarditis. They're not reporting it at all, period. Why? We took an oath as a nurse to first do no harm. And there's so much harm being caused. They know there's DNA in these vials. They know there's SV40 cancer promoter. They know there's pseudouridine, the lipid nanoparticles. They know we're injured. They've seen us. They've talked to us. Why are they not helping us? All I ask is to please share our stories. Please help us if you can. We need funding for research. We've taken it upon ourselves to do this on our own since the government's not helping us. They're not coming to save us. So we've done this on our own. We've built our own community, and I'm very proud of every single one of you. And I love you all. Thank you.
Okay. Well, she said a number of things. And go back and listen to her appearance on this program. It was wonderful. She just laid it all out. She's a remarkable human being, as are almost all of the people who have taken these shots under duress or voluntarily after being tricked, duped, deceived, and who are now severely damaged. One of the things she said that makes the most sense to me, and I think probably for Erica as well, is that the human body is just wearing out. It can't take this kind of abuse 25 hours a day. It can't keep pushing sludge blood around. Just on a mechanical basis alone, the heart can't continue doing this. It's got a very early death sentence, the heart. It can't keep this agony of pushing this sludge around. That's just one of 100 things we could mention. There's a lot going on here. But it's all being swept under the rug. You don't see Lindsay House or hear her on the mainstream media. Those horrors and dirtbags don't give a crap about reality. They're liars if they say they do. They just want their big salary. They want their ego. They want their celebrity. Go ahead.
No, the most you might hear about in the mainstream media is some myocarditis, which they still say is rare. And that maybe only young men are susceptible to it. And they're starting to talk, I think, a little bit about cancer, maybe a little bit of an increased cancer rate. But, you know, that's vastly understating what's happening.
Vastly. Meanwhile,
some of these people
left to rot.
Yeah. No, this Lindsay is representative of a number of people with that severity of injury. It's never just one thing. It's a whole, really a systemic injury. And it's no surprise because the lipid nanoparticle goes everywhere, and even the adenoviral vector had, you know, a receptor that was present throughout the body. Mm-hmm. So that could conceivably go everywhere. And some of those people, the J&J people, they're really, even though it was only one and done, really messed up. But, you know, with the adenoviral, unlike the mRNA, where, you know, we know about a number of the problems with reading that mRNA. First of all, the integrity of the RNA was probably compromised to a large degree. And then the frame shifting that's happening and the template switching, you don't know what's being produced when your body's reading that thing.
No.
But with the J&J and the adenoviral vector, AstraZeneca, Sputnik, that had a very, very high translation fidelity, meaning that, you know, once that got into a cell and transfected it with the DNA transcript, those people were producing a spike protein comparable to the one that, you know, you would have on the virus. So, for better or for worse, they were not producing a lot of junk protein, like the people with the Pfizer and the Moderna are.
Don't forget also that the virus, no matter which variant or sub-variant you may be talking about, they're all lab-created, they're all released. These are bioweapons.
Yeah, it's clear that this spike protein on the coronavirus was probably the most lethal part of it, even though it's just a protein. Proteins can be lethal. And this thing has, well, somebody has called it the Swiss Army knife of death. There's many different ways it can harm.
Many.
And now, you know, these unfortunate people that have been transfected with it, a lot of them are producing it for life within their bodies and then shedding it into the environment.
Well, you heard Lindsay, who's a very brave young woman, say that people actually think often about just getting out. They've had it. It's that horrible. It's that horrible. And I'm sure
yeah.
it is.
And there's no possibility or offering of help.
None. The government's turned its back on people. Why? Because the government did it. Why wouldn't
right.
they?
Yep.
Come on. This is a government bioweapon, genocidal attack on humanity. And government, I'm not talking about the one in your particular country, wherever you are, talking about the global governance, the WEF, the Masons, certainly the International Zionist Jewish Banking Cartel. They're all part of it. And they've decided that there are too many people here. For
well,
whatever
they
reason.
Have a different vision of how the world's going to be in 10 years. Maybe less, 5 years,
Maybe
10
less.
Years, 20, 30.
I don't know. All right, now, let's rewind and go back at least 2 years, maybe close to three, when Erica came up with something. She's always studying, and she found the DNA research into the Pfizer injection showed a lot of things, proteins, and it showed a lot of things. Very heavy work and research done by independent scientists often. But they found out that certainly the most obviously and notorious killer is the spike protein. But if you remember back, you heard it here first, we began mentioning that there was another large protein, and I think bigger than the spike physically, and nobody knew what it did. Nobody knew what it did. And we used to talk about this often, hoping that somebody would do the work to find out what this other mystery protein, if I can call it that, I think I can, actually did. It was there for a reason. We know that. Just like the 200 billion to 400 billion DNA plasmids are in there for a reason. It's not a contaminant. So the point is, this mystery protein has been identified by Dr. McKernan. I guess he did the work. Not doctor, whatever he is, a scientist.
Yeah. Kevin McKernan.
He did the work.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
so,
well,
he
so that was when he mapped the plasmid for the plasmid is the template from which the messenger RNA is produced from. And this plasmid DNA was found in, presumably as a contaminant, but it's awfully convenient contaminant, in all the vials. Every single vial tested had some level, a substantial level, approximately 30% of the nucleotides that were in there was DNA. And so, yeah, this pertains to the Pfizer vaccine, where some time ago, probably two and a half years ago now, maybe more, that James Lyons-Weiler had written a paper that he was looking at the genetic code
Jane,
for this
did
thing.
You dropped off right when you said Jay. That's James Thorpe?
No, James Lyons-Weiler.
Oh, Weiler, yes.
Had been looking at the genetic code for this vaccine, Pfizer, and had noticed that there was a large protein that was coded for in addition to the spike protein. And in fact, this was slightly larger than the spike protein. Mm-hmm. And when he looked in the BLAST databases, there was no match for it. You know, what is this thing? And so for the longest time, it remained a mystery. And then back in September, after the plasmid map had been published, a Japanese researcher looked at it and noticed it was utterly full of amyloid sequences, but still didn't really have an identity. Well, the closest thing that people think it relates to is spider silk. And so that brings up a question, you know, what is this thing? I mean, you know, why is it in there? It shouldn't be in there. It should be just a blank, non-coding segment. And yet it's definitely coding for something, and what's worse is there's no stop codons to tell it to stop reading. So it will be produced.
Let me add this. About 20 years ago, maybe longer, the military was just beside itself because it had discovered a way to synthesize exactly what you mentioned, silk. So what was it?
Spider silk.
I can't remember. It was something else. It wasn't spider, but anyway, they were able to synthesize this silk, and it found it was more durable and stronger than Kevlar. It was a key product. Seriously, that's what they were doing with it. They were going to make body armor out of it, and I think they may have gone ahead and done that. Okay, so here we have Christina Parks. We're getting short on time, and the quote at the top of this little video, it's an X video, did Pfizer design an injection with a hidden gene coding for a protein that could cause blood clots? All right, that's from Kevin McKernan. All right, here we go. This is interesting. This is what that mystery protein was, apparently, and it's a very, very important component to this whole tragedy.
That this mRNA technology is so troubling, and the plasmid technology that goes along with it, is that if someone had nefarious intent, say if they wanted to put a gene sequence in these injections, which caused the body to make, let's say, a protein that was like spider silk, that when the body made it, it would form long, stringy, fibrous clots that would not dissolve, then they could do that. In fact, it appears, on the basis of the work of Kevin McKernan and several others, that it's possible that Pfizer did just that. Remember back when we played records, and I have a record player right in back of me, and people used to play them backwards and look for the secret message? What if there's a secret message in the Pfizer genetic information in its injection that causes the body to make a protein similar to spider silk that could cause blood clotting? Now, this is just the beginning of the work, and so it may be speculative, but that sequence has been found. It turns out that Kevin McKernan found this plasmid contamination. And we are told, well, it's just a manufacturing defect. It's not problematic. Well, Mr. McKernan has been speaking out to many legislatures and to the U.S. legislature and basically defining all of the potential risk involved in this plasmid contamination. But one of them that has really not gotten a lot of play is that it might be intentional. What do I mean by the fact that it might be intentional? You see, the plasmid, the template for the mRNA, contains much more information. It contains genetic information for the spike protein, but it also contains information on how to copy it and many other things. Well, it turns out it's this circular template, and along one side of it is the message for the spike protein. And when it starts reading, just like a book, it will read the spike protein, the genetic code for the spike protein, and make it into a protein, make it into the spike protein, which it is supposed to do. That has a lot of problems, but we're not going to get into that. But it turns out in this plasmid, it can also read it backwards. And when it reads it backwards, usually it codes for nothing. If you think about reading a book, you might have some words like dessert that you can read forward and backward. And you, when you read them backward, they say stressed, which is what I am right now after learning this information. But most words are going to be garbage. And it's no different when you are talking about genetic code. So when you read most genetic code backwards, it codes for garbage. And in fact, because it codes for garbage, intermittently, there are all of these sequences that actually tell it to stop, stop reading. And it's just garbage code, and it's like, you know, there's just periods, like you would have a period at the end of a sentence, just sort of sporadically interspersed. So it's very unlikely ever that you're going to get any sort of reasonable protein from reading a genetic code backwards. But in this case, in the Pfizer injections, the plasmid that codes for the spike protein, when it's read backwards, the sequence of the spike protein, according to Kevin McKernan's work, it actually codes for a length of a protein. In fact, it's 1,200 base pairs, which is a considerable length for a region that should only be a few base pairs, and then it should be garbage and not be able to be made into any kind of utilized, you know, protein that can be used at all. However, when this is read, it actually keeps going and going and going, and it turns out that Pfizer actually changed the words. So in the human language, most of our words have a very specific spelling. You can't spell them differently and mean the same word. But in the genetic code, you can actually spell the little words that code for parts of the protein in several different ways. And so you could, what Pfizer has done is they've changed them to make sure that when it's reading backwards, it never encounters something that tells it to stop, and that it keeps making actually what could be a functional protein. What is most alarming about this, beyond the fact that this protein that appears to be something very similar to spider silk could form clots in the body, is that this would have to be intentional, which would mean that the plasmid contamination of the injections would likely have to be intentional.
Don't forget, 200 billion to 400 billion of these little DNA pieces, fragments, in every injection, intentionally.
Wow. Which would mean that there would be nefarious intent on the part of those who designed this injection. This is extremely troubling and something that needs to be explored and looked into, because it is now hinging on conspiracy theory. I imagine that there are a lot of people who do not want to be terribly public with this, but the truth is we need to know what's going on. And so I'm sharing that it looks like someone has designed this with a hidden gene in it that is could have very, very detrimental effects if it is expressed in the body. And new work by Kevin McKernan suggests that these plasmids, once they get into the cell, can be and are expressed in mammalian cells. What is the extent of this? Is this protein, which could code for something similar to spider silk, actually being made? We don't know. There are so many questions, but the most disturbing thing about all of this is that it's almost, you know, 2 to 3 years after the rollout of this technology that we're finding it out. And so the idea that we could be given something, that something is hidden from us in, and not find out until it is too late, that something that could destroy our health has been hidden in this technology, is extremely troubling.
Well, you can count on it. They did it. That's exactly what happened. She's being very diplomatic and reserved with her text. Here, 2017, U.S. Army boosts spending on genetically engineered spider silk. They're calling it spider silk, although I think it's a little bit at variance from traditional, for body armor. This is 2017, And here's a new story just from 5 months ago. Spider silk is now being used to make body armor. Body armor made from spider silk is in serious development, and it is not as far-fetched as it may seem. A decade from now, the military may be ordering this incredibly lightweight body armor for its troops. Okay, I'll leave it at that. You can look your own sources up and find out more about the military use of what they're calling spider silk. So that's the answer. That's the missing protein, apparently, that we picked up here, and we were watching, Erica was watching it very closely 3 years ago.
Well, it's not an exact match, but pretty close. Oh. And yes. As I said before, you know, these amyloid sequences, you know, that's misfolded protein.
Yes,
you know, it's churning
absolutely.
Out these you know, rogue zombie proteins that don't really do anything other than disrupt your own proteins, causing them to misfold and aggregate. And I think we have to remember that, as far as we know, this embalmer clot that is being found in the vaxxed, it's happening not just in people who got Pfizer, but across the board. As far as we know, because I did see one, I had a question, you know, is it just the ones that have the lipid nanoparticles, which would be Pfizer and Moderna, do these lipids have something to do with the formation of these clots? But no, there was, if we can believe it, somebody who was operated on for clots, and they were pulling these stringy things out, and they were vaxxed with one J&J.
Right.
So it appears to be, I would say, related more to the spike, and influencing the misfolding of proteins in the blood or the endothelium, and probably throughout the body, wherever the spike lands, it's going to cause some degree of amyloidosis.
It does.
It's that inflammatory.
It's awful. Poor Lindsay House, her body was just totally inflamed everywhere. That was one of her statements. Okay. Unvaxxed, unvaxxed, unjabbed with turbo cancer at 31 years of age. This is very short. I'm going to read it. I'm alarmed as well. I never got vaxxed, but I was around lots who did. I regret that now. I'll never do it again. And now I have stage 3 inflammatory breast cancer. It's basically a turbo cancer. I'm 31 years old. I'm healthy otherwise. I regret not doing a spike protein cleanse, and I regret working a job that I truly believe caused my miscarriages and now my cancer.
Yeah.
This is a very important story. It's probably rather common. We're just not hearing reports as we'd like to hear. We did get this one. Unvaxxed, 31 years old, turbo breast cancer. Unvaxxed.
Yeah, I should add that there was a comment following Christina Parks's little video there. She's quite knowledgeable on this subject matter. She's a PhD microbiologist herself, and someone said that they were kind of patting themselves on the back. I didn't take it, so I'm healthy, and I never get sick. And she replied to this person, you should be aware that the plasmid contamination containing the sequence for the spike protein can be spread to unvaxxed through bacteria and phagemids, which is, that's a phage that would infect a virus. So another, subcellular or subatomic, I would say, piece of genetic material.
Nano.
Yeah.
Even
nano
smaller.
Being anything less than 100 nanometers. But yeah, we're talking about these very, very small pieces of genetic material that can have, rather profound consequences for if your bacteria acquire them.
Notice we didn't use the term self-assembling. I just want you all to notice that. All right. These are buzzwords all of these idiots use. Okay. Here's another one. I'm going to put these up under guests later. I didn't have enough time to get them all assembled. This guy, I don't know how old he is, 50s maybe. Post-vax, now he got shot. Post-vax turbo cancer tumor at the injection site. Remember, how many times did they tell us? Don't worry, it won't leave the injection site. The vax will stay right there and be completely contained. Well, this guy probably wishes it had. There's a picture of him. That's a horrible picture. Do you have that picture handy?
I'll
read it if you don't. All right, here. It's a little statement he put up there. Getting cancer after COVID jabs and booster in the same place. They jabbed him in the same place. And almost dying yesterday from loss of blood is just the worst and most scary feeling. This is the tumor poking out of my arm that had a dose of radiotherapy on it on Friday. Sorry about the photo. I know it's awful, but people need to see it. We'll put this picture up as well. It's got to be about a 3-inch in diameter circle where he got jabbed.
It's awful looking. I'm guessing it's some kind of sarcoma, you know, similar to the sarcomas that the cats would get from the rabies or leukemia virus vaccines. They started giving the vaccines in the leg instead of the back of the neck, because if you had a cancer develop from that injection, it's very difficult to remove. It's very invasive.
What are your thoughts about rabies vax for pets?
Oh, it's a tough one because
we're not making recommendations here. We're just discussing.
Anything that's in a needle these days, I'm suspicious of. I am hearing reports of animals getting sick after their vaccinations, but you know that may have something to do with these animals being shed on as well, and not being able to handle a normal vaccine.
Animals are being killed by shedding. We've covered a number of these stories. And again, if you have a beloved pet or pets and you're not injected, beware and don't let injected people handle your pets. Just at least you can do that.
Yeah.
Just say he bites or whatever. Just don't let him handle them.
Right.
These times are changed. We don't like this at all. It's horrible. But we're dealing with a different reality, and we have to be honest about it. So that's what these programs are about, honesty. Okay, anything else?
We can continue on Wednesday.
Okay, very good. All right, great job. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will take a short pause and come right back with hour 3 coming up next.